Our scripture passage for this morning is a very familiar one, and it is in your bulletins. And because it is familiar, it's interesting because when most people read this passage or think about it, they think about the turning the water into wine. For me, though, it's one of my favorite passages because how it has helped me and continues to help me to grow in my understandings of what ideal relationships include. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're going to study these two people in the story, Jesus and Mary, who to me represent a gold standard in terms of their ability to love fully and completely, and some might even say to the level of an ideal standard. So here we have our reading from the Gospel of John. And just as a heads up, we're going to read it a little bit differently this morning, a lot differently than we usually do. Because what we're going to do is we're going to read it twice. I'm going to read it. And the first time I read it through, I'm going to be reading what it did not say. Okay? Maybe some things that we would like to hear it say, but it did it not say. And then I'll read what it actually did say. And you can see what it actually said in the words there. So just humor me, you'll understand when you hear it, okay? So first, what it did not say. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." So Jesus said to her, "Got it." Oh, you want me to take care of it? Okay. "Mom, I would love to." "Sure, great idea. You know, even though, honestly, it's gonna throw me in a very different direction than what I was thinking of, it really doesn't fit in terms of how I thought God wanted me to roll out my first miracle and what that would mean. Like, I mean, I was kind of thinking about maybe I would heal someone for my first public pronouncement and miracle. And even though I was going to do that in a later in time, sure, I will adjust my understanding of what God wants me to do, and I'll make some wine for you and the guests, because they already ran through the first batch. And by the way, Mom, even though you're kind of forcing my hand in front of everybody and people who we know extremely well, this puts me in a really difficult position. I understand. So as you can see and hear, this is not at all what happened. The actual interchange went like this. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." And then, in spite of those remarks and those feelings, he nevertheless did what his mother asked. And as we know, what that meant was taking 6 stone jars, which amounted to somewhere between 120 and 180 gallons of water, and turning all that into wine. So may God bless our understanding of this very curious word about life and love. Amen. So this event is what turned out to be Jesus' first miracle. The real miracle, though, and the real gift, I think, is that in this little interchange, that it was included in our Holy Scripture just to begin with, right? I mean, it's a fascinating and it's a really bizarre kind of an interchange between two loving people. But because it is included, and because some of the less kind of nice details are included about this, we get to see a peek. It shines a bright, beautiful light onto a greater understanding of what it means, really, to be in a full, healthy, realistic, ideal, loving relationship. What I mean is this. If you, in fact, believe that Jesus and his mother Mary could perhaps be understood as very loving people, I think they are. I think they're extremely loving people. Then this passage is pure grace, because it shows us that, you know what, if you're aspiring to being a loving person in your life, what a gift to know that unless you picture yourself as superseding the levels of Jesus and Mary, that your loving relationships then are also going to include some interchanges like this one. What do I mean? They have no wine. Jesus, Mary says, they have no wine. And he's thinking, and he says to the effect, seriously? Seriously, Mom, this? Now? He gets a honeydew item. He does, right? And his response, he's not happy. These are not happy words. He feels it's inappropriate. It's out of place. It's out of line. It's even to the point of abrasive. It puts him in an uncomfortable position in public. It changes his plans. It displaces what he feels are important priorities. This is not trivial. Her request disregards what is most precious to him, which is his understanding of his calling to fulfill God's priorities and purpose, which he did not think included making miraculously wine for party guests. So this interchange is big stuff. Relationally, it's kind of shocking that for all loving Jesus, when he says, woman, wow, addressing his mother is that. Woman, what concern is this to you or to me? Those are the words from the New Revised Standard Version. The New International Reader's Version puts it this way. Dear woman, why do you bring me into this? The New King James Version says, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? This interaction is nothing short of fascinating and revealing, because for one thing, and this is kind of an aside, but it adds to its authenticity, right? You wouldn't include this interaction in Holy Scripture if you were making it up. You wouldn't. To make the Messiah, to want to impress some people about who you think your Messiah is, if you were editing things out, you wouldn't include a story about a Messiah who gets backed into a corner, who's altering his plans because he feels inappropriately pressured by his mother. You're not going to put that in. You can be pretty sure, therefore, that this is pretty darn exactly how it happened. Otherwise, they're going to want to sweep this under the rug, but there are too many people watching. If they told the story of Jesus and they didn't include this, and all those people heard it, they would say, like, yeah, what about that one, though? We were there. And so it is holy, and it is sacred, and it is priceless in terms of guiding us in our very real and very imperfect lives where we deal with our relationship issues. Do you know if Mary and Joseph, if Mary and Jesus can get angry with each other, if they can overstep boundaries, if they can exchange in an emotionally charged way and have disagreements, then I think, as we've noted, the kind of thing that we run into is the same way. It doesn't make us feel good when we do these things. And yet, it still fits in what I would call a gold standard relationship. So thank you, God. Thank you that we're able to know this and refer back to this, which I do again and again and again in my life because I'm still learning. Now, it goes without asking that Laura and I, we don't have these problems. We are above these kind of things. We never have disagreements. Don't you wish Laura were here? And what would she, how would she be reacting, right? Never make each other uncomfortable. I need this. I do. I need this. Because I and we and all of us, we're all too human. We know what this journey is like. You know what else? We also have these idealized kinds of images and myths of what an ideal relationship is like and how we're not measuring up time and time again. How we think it's supposed to be. Our myths are helped out there, fueled by TV shows, rom-coms, romance novels, even self-help books. One of the things I've shared with Laura that she really appreciates is that one of the things that I know it influenced me was watching I Dream of Jeannie as a kid. That's how you're supposed to be greeted when you come home. We're fed all sorts of stuff through television and rom-coms and romance novels and all these scripts of these people that are carefully written out. And it's like, why can't my spouse, why can't my friend just be more like that, you know? How they work out differences of opinion. You know, even in self-help books, you know, when your partner says this, then you can respond in a very understanding way and you can, you know, repeat what they say and so forth. And then you get into real life. It's like Mike Tyson who says, you know, we all have a plan until we get punched in the face. Thinking that our relationship should be smooth, harmonious, all flow. So Jesus and Mary wonderfully are myth-busters for this, where we can see all-wise, deeply understanding people get frustrated. You know, and it's funny, right? Mary's pulling the mother card. And Jesus gets played. We see Jesus get played. Actually, the Messiah getting pressured, embarrassed, upset. With someone who he loves dearly. And we've all been there. And then, acquiescing, bending, being flexible, and giving in. Somehow letting it roll out making a choice at some point along those split seconds or maybe minutes, making a choice of which obviously he feels is more important at that moment, to do what she says instead of following his preconceived plan, not defending it. Story. I've shared this before because it's had such a huge impact on me. So when I started ministry, I was about 30, I was 30 years old, and I was an associate minister, and at some point, you have to have your first premarital session with someone. This was my first premarital session. I had no idea how to lead a couple into marriage. I had no idea how to do premarital counseling. I wasn't even married yet myself at that point. I was so green. So knowing this was coming up, I quickly found a course in like how to do premarital counseling, because you don't get that in seminary. You don't get anything practical as that. So in this course, it had some suggestions. And it says, suggestion, you know, have a couple present an example of some issue that they disagree on. And then there's a step-by-step process on how to work through it. So I meet with this couple. They're in their mid to late 40s. Each has been married before. You know, I'm younger. I don't know what I'm doing. So I say, you know, we plan ahead of time. I said, so come with an issue that is, you know, you've disagreed on something before. So they come with the issue. What's the issue? So they say, well, it has to do with, you know, he thinks that we should do one thing with the ends of the bar of soap, and I think we should do something else. I'm like, what kind of a baby issue is this? But, okay, I'm not going to fight it. You know, we'll go with something completely benign. And I know that they chose it just to prove, you know, like how good at resolving issues they could be. So we start. So he says, well, I said, so what's the issue? Well, he says, so, you know, when we get to the ends of the soap, you know, I'm a saver and I'm careful and everything. So I think that they should be put in this little, they had some kind of a plastic washy scrubby thing or whatever. And he says, you know, I think that we should save them in this thing. And I try to get her to save them, but she won't do it. And so she says, well, yeah, it's because, I mean, they're the ends of bars of soap, for God's sake. They're like, you know, it's like nothing. And then he comes back to her and he says, well, you think it's nothing, but, you know, you add these things up and it's really important. It really has to do with what I care about. She's like, are you kidding me? You know, I can't believe you're even caring about this stuff. Before I know it, I'm completely out of control. This thing is like, this is like a wildfire. They're like, they're yelling at each other. They are having it out. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I didn't even know what to say. I'm just watching this whole thing unravel. And before, it's out of control. Before I know it, he claims victory. He does. And she says, you know what? You're right. You always have to be right. She said, you win. You always have to win. But you know what? She goes, you win. We're done. She walks out. But not before she's at the door and she says, and you will win all by yourself forever. They never got back together. That made a huge impression on me. Right then and there, honest to God, I'm like, okay. So when you're in a relationship, there are some times when you're going to have to choose, do I want to be right or do I want to be in relationship? And I have repeated that to myself. Right? And I've shared this with numerous couples millions of times over the years. With Jesus, I think it's fantastic that he clearly does not like what his mother is doing. Irritating, annoying, overstepping bounds, embarrassing, inappropriate. But what does he do? In this case, for whatever reason, I don't know, maybe to teach us thousands of years later, in this instance, he chooses to be in relationship instead of pressing how he is right. Jesus Christ, thank you for this passage. So we can see that this too is included in our gold standard of relationships. So we learn a few things. One, even if you're in the greatest, most understanding and loving relationship, be it with a partner, be it with a family member, be it with a friend, first, expect to get annoyed sometimes, and you're still in the gold standard. Expect to feel set up, embarrassed, cornered, pressured sometimes by someone you love. Expect to be in situations from time to time where you have to choose. Maybe you know you're 100% right, but there are some times where, God, you just bite your tongue, just go, I'm going to choose instead to be in relationship instead of being right. And then one thing more. And that is, if you want to be in a gold standard relationship, you need to welcome the fact that you're not always going to get what you want. Even if you are Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary. You're not always going to get your way. Put another way, if you find you're in a relationship and that you are getting what you want on a regular basis more than 50% of the time, when there's a difference of opinion, that could be a symptom that you're not winning, but your relationship, you actually may be losing something, some balance. Jesus says, woman, what do you have to do with me? What business of this is mine? Seriously? This is a big thing. She's pushing him to announce himself to the world for who he is in the fullness. He's not ready. In fact, he knew, and he was right, that this one act would actually catapult him into being seen as someone and something different from that point on, and it did. He was right. And now he had to deal with an entirely new set of problems. It set his life on a different trajectory and even into some new conflicts. He foresaw this happening as a result. That's why he said, my hour is not yet come. But fascinatingly, what did he do? Did he give her a verbal lashing? Take your place, woman. Don't you understand? I'm the Messiah. You want to be the Messiah? Well, then be quiet. He didn't do that. Did he ignore her? Did he give her the silent treatment? Did he turn his back? The interesting thing is, even though he is annoyed, he complies. He's flexible. So this time, she gets what she wants. What a great reminder for me of what a holy and perfect relationship includes. And this, and you know, my job is persuading people. And I know that it's a wake-up call for persuasive people, for leaders, for strong people, who are accustomed to bending other people's wills to their way, that it's one thing to do that in the business world. It's another thing to do that in personal relationships. It doesn't work over time with family, friendships, relationships. It gets tiresome for other people again and again to be on a losing end. So you don't always get what you want, Jesus. But then there's another learning here, the last one, which is Mary. Sometimes if you know ask, you know get. She asked. If you do ask, if you advocate for yourself in a relationship, sometimes you do get what you need, and that's important. So advocate for yourself. Don't make the other person guess and try to mind read. What do you want? What do you need? I don't know. It's a tricky game, this relationship business. But the bottom line is, if you want a gold standard relationship, it's going to include all these things that on the surface really don't seem so gold standard. Frustration, anger, being played, embarrassed, all these different things, not being fully respected. Sometimes bending, being flexible, asking for what you want, sometimes getting what you want, and sometimes not. And forgiveness. And oh yeah, if you do this, that's how you turn regular old ordinary run-of-the-mill watery relationships into wine. Amen.